Greg Berlowitz and Ina Pinkney in with me. Hi, guys.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, Mike. Good morning.
I just learned so much from you just then. I had no idea. Fertilizer is not like medicine.
I think it's a great rule of thumb.
It really is. You know what? It really takes me back to antibiotic-free meats, because the people who are proponents of using antibiotics in feed and in water in animals, they think it's a preventative. And it's really not. So there is really an analogy here that you can't fix things in advance, you know?
No, that's a really good way to put it. The other analogy is what you do to your lawns when you keep putting in synthetic fertilizers and pesticides on your lawns, and you rob the lawn of the biology that it needs to survive.
Right.
And then you wonder why it's stressed out, and then the lawn's hooked. And then you have to keep it on that regimen the whole time. If you allow the biology to come back, the health comes back.
There it is.
And that is by letting the grass, in this case, feed on what it feeds on naturally.
Right.
In your case, the beef.
Right.
What are those animals supposed to eat? Grass, generally.
Right. Exactly.
Not grain, not corn.
And I say to the proponents, you know, 26 million pounds of antibiotics were used last year in animal feed. Only 6 million pounds were used to try to treat people who were sick. And in some cases, it didn't work because there was antibiotic resistance in the bugs that they had.
That's exactly
right. And so I say to people, so what are you going to do? Sprinkle antibiotics on your cereal in the morning? And they go, no, what are you talking about? And I went, well, you say it's a preventative. We want to use it only for the right reasons. And the same thing with everything you do for your lawn and your plants.
Mm-hmm. And that's Ina Pinkney, by the way, who you might remember, as I said, the iconic Ina's on Randolph.
Thank you.
You know, I never had anything but breakfast there.
Well, we were known for our breakfast, so you did good.
I did. It was always wonderful.
And you know, now that I've stopped working and I closed the restaurant in December, people ask me, well, where are you eating breakfast now? So if you look at the Chicago Tribune dining section, the third Thursday of every month, there's a column called Breakfast with Ina.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
So I might have to invite you out to breakfast one day.
I would love to go out to breakfast.
That would be a terrific conversation.
Wouldn't that be a good conversation?
My favorite meal. Breakfast, bar none.
Me too.
Bar none. So
guess why we're here today?
I don't know. Why are you here?
Ask Greg.
Greg, why are you here?
Funny you should ask, Mike.
You know, Mike's a new kid on the block. I have to help him.
I like the way we're bringing him along. That was
segue?
Perfect.
I don't understand how radio works in interviews. I'm just clueless.
As opposed to us, the experienced ones here. So. Ina is an owner of Chicago Market. I think Ina might be among the first 100. Is that correct?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
Chicago Market, a community co-op, is a new co-op that's forming in Chicago. You heard from Cheryl earlier in the show. Sugar Beet Co-op is our friend, our colleague, our
so you guys
mentor
all work together.
Sorts.
You would love to have all kinds of stores like
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. Co-ops cooperate with each other. We think the city with more co-ops, think Minneapolis, Minnesota, think St. Paul, Minnesota, the city with more co-ops has a viable business.
I wasn't aware
model.
That they were big in co-ops.
Mm-hmm.
There are approximately 40 co-ops in Hennepin County, Minnesota, more than a dozen in Minneapolis and St. Paul, all thriving in their own neighborhoods.
So, and I'm going to tell you why I'm the perfect candidate to become an owner. It's because I really didn't know about co-ops. Chicago hasn't had any. And even though I've spent my whole career, 33 years, of feeding people safe and healthy food in a safe and healthy environment, and I was the first restaurant to go trans fat-free oil, and I was the first one to go completely pasteurized eggs, and my friend Dan Rosenthal and I started the smoking ban with a complete coalition of restaurants, and then we started the Green Co-op. I knew nothing about co-ops in terms of food. I grew up in the 60s in Greenwich Village, and every co-op was 1,000 square feet of people who looked pasty and gray selling seeds and nuts.
Right.
And I had no
big
idea.
Bins of granola.
Bins of granola.
The scoops
and
of yogurt.
Not very appetizing,
Not at all. And so when the guys came to me and said, co-op, I thought, I have no idea what they're talking about. So I am the perfect candidate who thinks they know about food and who's been trying to do the right thing for 30 years. And they have now opened my eyes to the possibility of this extraordinary opportunity in Chicago.
It sounds fabulous. I'm sold. Let's do it.
Okay, do it.
I know you're trying to get 1,000
owners.
Well, you call them owners.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But they're, what's the difference between an owner and a member?
We chose the word owner. Under Illinois law, the people that buy shares in a co-op are called members. We chose the word owner because we're not asking someone to belong to the co-op. We're literally asking them to buy a share in it, to own part of the co-op. They will own the future of the co-op. They will own the operation of the co-op. They will own the direction of the co-op, and they will own the decisions that the co-op makes.
So you're one of these commie types that we talked about in the first hour.
It's democracy. Right? I have to echo
yes,
Cheryl
terrible.
Before.
Over on the right, democracy is actually communism. That's the way they look at it. So
I like to say it like this. The best thing about the co-op is that it's democratic, and the worst thing about the co-op is that it will be democratic.
You're absolutely right about that.
True?
Yeah, it is.
True?
I mean, I'm trying to think of 1,000 people making decisions.
Oh,
on
1,000
how this
is just our start.
Yeah, that's just a start.
Doesn't that terrify you to some degree?
We will filter those 1,000 people through a board of directors who the... In a representative democracy, all 300 million Americans are not making the decisions at the same time. Our 1,000 owners, our 4,000 owners, thank goodness, our 4,000 owners will elect a board of directors between 9 and 14 people who will make the decisions on their behalf.
You know, and this really isn't a not-for-profit. This is going to be a functioning, profit-making operation. And we are very excited that owners will have benefits that others will not have. So our 1,000 people, we are the beginning of it. We will all ask our friends to then become members as well and become owners. You notice I wear a pin that says I'm an owner. And
so
every time somebody sees me, they go, what do you own? I tell them, and then all of a sudden, they're interested. When you think about a shopping experience, we're pretty limited. You know, we have the New Marianos, which certainly is a good-looking store, and then we have our Jewel and Treasure Island, and now we have Whole Foods. But this is not the kind of shopping experience that I personally want. I want to be able to buy things and food that's grown for us, that we know the sourcing of it. I want to go to the butcher and say, you know, this is what I need, and watch them break down, you know, an animal there as well. So this isn't a little tiny store. This is going to be a shopping experience that you and I really want to have and we deserve. So when I go to a farmer's market and I see certain vendors there, the only place I can find them is there. I want to be able to go on Tuesday morning when I need to shop and buy what I want to buy. I want Tim Burton's maple syrup to be on the shelf at the co-op, not that I have to go over to the farmer's market on Saturday morning and try to find it.
You know, Greg, we don't have to do anything. We just wind her up and turn her loose here.
Ayn is my idol. I'm sitting. You can't see her right now, but she's beautiful. She is articulate, and she is representing us
passionate.
In a committed, passionate way.
Wait
for it.
And I have a really good phone sex voice in the morning.
This is Progressive Radio.
Oh, wow.
I'm done. My work here is done, gentlemen.
Okay, I need a cold shower. All right.
And Mike, what Ayn said, I think is absolutely accurate. Our goal as a Chicago market is to provide transparency and education. Our goal, as Cheryl said earlier, is for you to walk in and see blueberries on the shelf and know who grew those blueberries, how they grew those blueberries.
I would ask you then, is there an educational component to this? Will you keep your owners apprised of everything that's going on so they get a newsletter or something and they'll know what's happening in their own store?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have regular communications now with our currently 216 owners.
You're on your way. You started June 15th.
June 15th. We're at 216 on July 20th.
Well. Yeah.
We're very excited about the progress. We will have regular communication via newsletter, but when the store opens, we will be a center of information. We will define words. What's the difference between USDA organic milk from, say, Organic Valley, or USDA organic milk, say, from Target? There is a difference between those two milks, and we'll talk about that. We'll say, what does the word natural mean? It's not defined by the FDA.
Can you do that at point of purchase?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
we,
because this is where... Not everybody's got a smartphone, and not everybody can be there going do.
Absolutely,
you know. And you want to have a sign that says, "Here's because I go in a traditional supermarket. I have no clue.
Right?
What's what?
Right?
And they don't tell you.
That's a great
question. And you are being deceived.
Oh, absolutely. But it says natural and organic, but it doesn't have the USDA.
Minimally processed.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah.
Those words have
Somebody answer this question for me? Why is it that the humanely raised chicken eggs are the ones that are packaged in plastic. And that, you know, what that, is that, that all
I've,
about?
I've asked that same question, Mike. I've wondered that as well.
I rest my case.
we're asking
what
the
was
same
your case?
Questions.
I don't remember.
But to your point, I think it's very important. How are we going to transmit this information? We will transmit this information, as you said, through apps, through smartphones is one way, through the internet and through our website is another way. But we will have signs in the store. We will have information up near the food around the store, which will teach people, what is the meaning of the word natural? What is the meaning of the word organic? When you step into Chicago Market, here's what it means in our store. It's not legally defined elsewhere. We can't say natural down the road means this, but in our store, this is what will it mean. But as you said, we don't want people to walk in and think they need to read the whole time. What if you want to walk in, grab your dinner and go? It'll be unobtrusive.
Wait, except I'm one of those people who wants to read. Mm-hmm. I'm sick of not having the information there. To me, that would be a relief. I'm sure there's people that grab stuff and go, and you read it once and then you know. But you got to have it there.
We will have all of the information available at your fingertips in the store, online, through a smartphone, whichever way you prefer, the same information available. That it's a reason for our being.
But Mike, you will also then come to a place of such trust that you will know that if you walk over to those cucumbers, you won't have to read where they came from. You will already know from having been in the store that everything we're doing is as we say we're doing. So you will then have this level of trust, and you won't have to stop and say, oh, that came from the Klug farm over in Michigan.
And wait, I thought cucumbers came from the cucumber fairy.
They did. I didn't want to hurt
wrapped
you today.
Wrapped in plastic.
You know, now,
but the fairies have to be very careful with the cucumbers.
I know we're asking people to take a big leap of faith because we don't have a brick and mortar store yet. And what we're doing is we're waiting to see where the owners are. And then we will look for property in that area where it is most convenient.
She's good.
She's perfect.
She's perfect.
I haven't had to look at my notes once.
Give me that phone sex voice again.
Can I do the weather? I love doing the weather. Can you ask Pat,
anything,
is lightning is good for growth, isn't it? Because doesn't it put nitrogen in the air?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got a bell.
You're good.
You got a bell.
You got a ding,
do you know,
baby.
I love lightning. I mean, I'm sorry it destroys so many things.
I do,
but
too. Lightning is
it.
Cool.
Lightning is so cool.
My cat doesn't think a whole lot of lightning, but, you know. All right, hang on a second. I want to talk a little bit more, including the GMO question. In the studio with me, of course, I have Greg Berlowitz, founder of Chicago Market, and Ina Pinkney, who has the most fabulous phone sex voice.
Thank you.
In the city.
Careful, Mike. My children are listening.
You should have warned them. This is the Mike Novak show, okay? All right. You'd be amazed here. I'm sitting in the studio with Ina Pinkney, who's tweeting herself out. I look at the Twitter feed, and there she's sitting there.
I may be old, but I ain't dead.
Far from it.
Very far from it.
And Greg Berlowitz, and then I saw something pop up from Chicago Market. I said, Greg, you tweeting here? He says, no, we've got the team. We've got the staff.
We've got the best social media team in the city.
And they're out there. They're working it this morning. They did make them get up early just to do this. Okay, before we went to the break, GMOs. Are you going to be a place that where people can identify GMO products?
Mike, as we said, we will be all about information. We want to transmit to people all of the information possible about their food, how it was grown, where it was grown, under what circumstances, and what was added to it, what was not added to it. GMOs will be absolutely included in that. This product has been genetically modified to the best of our knowledge. This product is not. Ultimately, we've not taken a position on saying we will never have GMOs in the store. That's something a board will have to decide. We'll have to
make
that policy.
That's true, because you're going to be that darn democracy thing.
Absolutely.
What a waste of time.
But as we know in this studio, whether GMOs, whatever their effect or not effect, we have the right to know what's in our food. And as the co-op, we will transmit that information to people. We will share, here's everything we know about the food so you can make your best decision.
And I see that there are going to be direct benefits as well as indirect benefits to being an owner.
Absolutely. The direct benefits, there's a financial benefit right off the bat. We will have a patronage refund every year. When you invest in a normal corporation, you receive dividends based on your contribution at the end of, at the end of the year. In a co-op, you receive a patronage refund based on your use of the co-op. You shop every week. You'll get a check at the end of the year, which will reflect how you shop there. One of the most well-known co-ops that a lot of people don't know is a co-op is REI. You pay a membership fee.
I did not know that.
You pay a membership fee. You get a patronage refund. You buy a canoe one year. You get a little check at the end of the year. It's pretty terrific. That's one of the benefits. That we'll have owner-only discounts in the store. We'll have special promotions. A big benefit to being an owner is the ability to be on the board of directors, to vote for the board of directors. And as I said, these first 1,000 owners have a unique opportunity to actually determine the future of the store, to actually determine what direction we go, what choices we make, how we make them, and where we are. I like to talk also, though, not only about the benefits, what you get, but what's really important, and I think Cheryl would say the same at Sugar Beet Co-op, and a lot of co-ops would say this, you give a lot when you belong to a co-op. And we have four things that we talk about that you give. The one thing you give is you give farmers the ability to farm as opposed to sell. You give farmers the ability to farm what they'd like to farm.
And let me stop you there, because they already have an outlet, is what you're saying. They don't have to go shopping around. They've got the place that's going to sell their food.
I've talked to farmers who say, I love farming. I have to get up at midnight the night before a farmer's market, pack my truck, drive 4 hours to Chicago, sit there for 6 hours. I lose a whole day on the farm.
And you might not sell everything you brought.
You might not sell everything you brought.
You probably won't sell everything you brought.
We will provide an option. We can take all those. We can take all that food. We can take the food after the farmer's market, but we can have a direct route to those farmers. So we're giving farmers more opportunity, the ability to expend less fuel and spend less time delivering and more time farming. We're giving the planet a chance to heal from unsustainable practices, from monoculture, from single crop farming, which, as you know, Illinois used to be a state which provided a lot of food. Now Illinois is a state of corn and soybeans.
We know that. The number is that we import 95% of our food, and that's a shame.
Which is a big change. You also give members of your community not only this amazing, beautiful community-owned store, but you give them a place to meet. You give them a place to chat. You give them a place to take classes.
So it's going to be a commons as well?
It'll be a commons as well. We've asked people, what do you want in your store? What is your dream grocery store? And the answer we get again and again is we want community space. We want a place where we could have meetings, where we could bring our organizations, where we could bring our children.
I got a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
A small gardening and food library.
Mm-hmm. That is an amazing idea.
That's a fabulous idea.
I love that idea.
And where people sit and they pull the books off the shelf and they get ideas for their garden.
That's a great
idea. And they talk about them.
I think that's fantastic. And this is what I love about the co-op. Every time we talk about it, people bring their ideas to it, and the co-op can incorporate all those ideas. We can truly be a community-owned store that the community. But there's one last thing that you give.
Okay.
You give members of your community great paying jobs. Mm-hmm. One of the principles of the co-op is concern for community. There's international co-op principles, which I was advised, don't go over on the air. We have a concern for community. You're giving members of your community great paying jobs. It's important to us. How do we treat our workers? What kind of people do we hire? Do we hire people that have disabilities? Do we hire people that have been injured in war? We have a lot of options, a lot of community directions we can go, and we can provide services and jobs for people that maybe another store wouldn't.
Well, all the information is on my website. You can go to chicagomarket.coop. Or you can go to Facebook, and it's Chicago Cooperative. The link is there to where you can join and be part of this. But I did want to ask before we leave, Ina, what are you doing with yourself right now?
Well,
besides owning, you know, this Chicago market.
Owning the show, too.
you know, you said library. Library is very much a part of my heart. I was a junior high school librarian in New York City in Spanish Harlem. So I go to libraries when they invite me, and I do little speaking at night and tell them how did I get from Brooklyn to breakfast and what my life is like right now. And then I sell my cookbooks called Taste Memories, and you can find that on my website, breakfastqueen.com. Also tell people to sign up for my newsletter at breakfastqueen.com, and then they'll find out where I am.
And that link is there, too, on my website. I've got the breakfastqueen.com is there, so go take a look at that. Do you have a Facebook page?
It's just under my name, Ina Pinkney.
Okay. So folks can
find
do that.
Find me anywhere.
All right. You going to take me to breakfast?
Oh, I sure will.
Woo! Ow!
And we'll tweet
right.
about it.
I need two cold showers. Oh, wait.
That's very sweet.
Somebody posted on Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll close with this. Things I learned thanks to the Mike Novak Show. One, Chicago market rocks. Two, Breakfast Queen has the best phone sex voice in Chicago.
Ladies and gentlemen, my work
is
here
done.
Is done.
you guys will be back on the show. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike. It's been terrific.